Good evening, everybody, and good evening, God. This is going to be a wonderful evening of knowledge, inspiration, history, vision, all around Maharshi Ayurveda. And it's a great joy to welcome as our main speaker this evening. I'm going to introduce all of them at once, and they can all... Actually, why don't you just all come and sit up here so we can... see you while you've been introduced. So a great joy to welcome to Maharshi University of Management and Fairfield Anand Srivastava, who is president of the Anand has been working closely with Maharshi and the Transcendental Meditation Movement in India for more than 40 years. And in the early 1980s, Maharshi gave Anand the responsibility of producing Maharshi Ayurveda products. And since that time, Maharshi Ayurveda has become the first Ayurveda organization in India and in the world to have acquired international certifications with regard to systems, quality, and safety, and it has produced and standardized more than 2,500 products. And in that time also, there have been about 85 scientific research studies and clinical trials verifying the effectiveness of Maharshi Ayurveda under the guidance of Anand and beginning with the beautiful inspiration of Maharshi in the early 1980s. So let's please welcome Anand. Also with us this evening, also a pioneering researcher in the field of Maharshi Ayurveda and first scientist of the Age of Enlightenment, is Dr. Robert Keith Wallace. Pioneering researcher in the field of higher states of consciousness. And he, together with Dr. Robert Schneider, another of our guests, are co-deans of our Maharshi College of Perfect Health. Dr. Schneider, of course, renowned researcher on the effects of transcendental meditation technique on cardiovascular health, co-recipient with our collaborating institutions around the country of more than $25 million in investment funding from the National Institutes of Health, director of our Center of Natural Medicine and Prevention, and much, much more. We have Alan Marks, who is the CEO of Maharshi Ayurveda International USA. So sitting before you is a tremendous... tremendous representation of pure knowledge and infinite organizing power. So I'd like to hand this microphone first to Anand Srivastava, Jay Gurudev.
Yasya nisvasitam veda, yo vedebhyo khilam jagat, nirmame tam ham vande, vidyatirth maheshwaram. Jai Gurudev. It's always a joy to share some of the moments I had with Maharshi ji concerning the beginning of Ayurveda. Beginning of Ayurveda, when I say, it's not the Ayurveda which is taken in the present days, it's Ayurveda in its holistic value. and that we very fondly call Maharshi Iyer. We all know the history behind our movement, how the whole thing started, what has been the purpose of it. There's nothing to remind anyone. The purpose has been elimination of suffering. Maharshi brought the message of the Vedic literature, the Upanishads and all. He says, life is bliss. And it was, I can say it was Maharshi's level of consciousness which could have thought that. And there have been so many other instances where Maharshi declared dawn of the age of enlightenment and all these things which couldn't have been thought by anyone else. So, since we are talking about the history, how it all began, so I would like to remind myself and also share the moments with you that at that time, many of our great scientists, Dr. Wallace was also there, and many scientists were there, and we were all discussing about Ayurveda, how to do it and what to do it, how we should go ahead, and suddenly Maharshi said that, okay, that's fine, let us go in that direction, because some people requested Maharshi that just one little aspect of Vedic literature can do such great things. Transcendental meditation, or the yoga aspect of Vedic wisdom can do such great wonders, why not we take up some other things? And obvious next step was in the direction of Ayurveda. So, Dr. Tribhuna and all the great Vaidyas and our great scientists, doctors and all were discussing about how to go about it. Maharshi posed a question. Okay, what should we have as the objective for Ayurveda? And that time, I'm sure people who were there would remember, people started suggesting, okay, we'll go for chronic disease treatment, we'll go for starting hospitals all over, clinics all over, or somebody suggested, okay, we should do some products and this and that. Suggestions started coming, and Maharshi started kept on nodding, yes, yes, yes. I said, well, if we really have to go to fix the objective as per the real dignity of Ayurveda, then let me decide. And Maharshi gave the objective, disease-free society. And I can still remember the faces of our great leaders. Oh, disease-free society, and many of us started pursuing Maharshi. Oh, Maharshi, people will laugh at us and do this thing and that thing. Let us come to a little more practical level and all. He said, no. Anything less than this is not acceptable to me. And that he actually faced. And, you know, we all have been used to of these Maharshi's thought and Maharshi's level of thinking. So you say, fine, if Maharshi says so, we'll work for it. But I can confess that I had a lot of doubts. And but since Maharshi said, then we started. But in the journey forward, we started realizing that Maharshi was so right in thinking. Maharshi's thinking was so right that Ayurveda really deserves this high objective. And if we look at it a little closely, we can confirm that yes, that this is all possible, and we started seeing the, you know, those first rays of the dawn right after Maharshi said that. The very first scientific researches started coming. That yes, we all are familiar about of Amrit Kalash. It was declared to be the best known antioxidant in the world. And around that time, oxidative damage was considered to be responsible for about 80% degenerative diseases. It's the rasayana. Amrit Kalash is a rasayana. Our scientists found out only just one aspect of it, the antioxidant aspect. So as the things started growing, we started feeling that Maharshi's objective was not something just in the air. Maharshi knew what is possible from Ayurveda. And that's what our leaders, they decided to call Maharishi Ayurveda, because Ayurveda at that time was, and still there are a lot of wrong notions about it, just a simple herbal medicine or non-standard, and all those things are there. So this is how the whole thing started. Now as we went ahead, we started finding that there is an entirely different mode of operation. Some of the myths which have been kind of, which have come up in the medical world, that oh, this disease cannot be cured, that disease cannot be cured, you have to keep on taking this medicine throughout your life, we find that these myths can be cracked. How? Again, it's Maharshi's knowledge which helped us going into deeper aspects of the action of Ayurvedic products. It's the knowledge of consciousness which Maharshi gave us that helped us in realizing how these products are working. And what we found, that the products are not working at molecular level. You have a product, a simple product, maybe a calcium product, But the quantity of calcium is not enough to produce any result. But it re-enlivens that aspect of the system which is responsible of absorbing calcium from the food or whatever sources are there, and strengthen the asthi dhatu of the body, the bone dhatu of the body. So it's the functioning is at a much deeper level, that is the level of intelligence. And this we have found in almost every product. Everything we say, like we take, for instance, a simple product which we use for blood sugar. A patient is diagnosed of diabetes. He goes to the doctor and doctor gives him some compound which neutralizes the excessive sugar in the blood. And we think, the doctor thinks, oh, the level comes down, and he says, okay, yes, my job is done. Now your blood sugar is absolutely under control. But what is happening? It's not real treatment. It's like there is a small fire in the house, fire alarm is on. Instead of putting off the fire, you switch off the fire alarm. Anything, I mean, if we look at how the whole handling of a disease is, we find that it's only at the very superficial level. The fire will continue. There will be some other alarm. As long as our system is there, capable of handling some things, it will keep on giving alarms. At the end, it will just collapse. In Ayurveda, what happens? I mean, if we analyze, if Dr. Schneider analyzes any of our, I mean, one of our products which have been researched for high blood sugar, he will not find any substance which can neutralize sugar in the laboratory. But what does it do? Actually re-enlivens that aspect of the body which is responsible of producing insulin, also which is, in case that insulin is not getting attached with this cell and not bringing the sugar into the cell to get metabolized, it is helping that aspect also. So it's kind of re-enlivening the intelligence of the system to work normally. That is the functioning of Ayurvedic products. And I would certainly say functioning of Maharishi Ayurveda products. Because if we look at the present understanding of Ayurveda, it is again going to the same, in the same direction of superficial treatment. Oh, this plant contains this flavonoid or this, what are the terms? And that's how it should work. It works this way. No. The plant does not contain any flavonoid or any of those carotene or beta carotene and all that, it contains the intelligence which helps re-enlivening the intelligence of the system so that the system functions normally. That's the principle behind ayurveda. Another thing which we have found out, which Maharshi has always been saying, prevention is better than cure. Anything a stitch in time saves nine. And that's what Maharshi has been saying right from the beginning. And what we have learned here, going into deeper aspects of theory of Maharshi of Ayurveda, of the Ayurvedic literature, what we found, the masters of Ayurveda describe various levels of disease progression. There are six levels of disease progression. The very first level is Sanchay. We all must be aware of three doshas, Vat, Pitta and Kapha. And we have been repeating that for a long time. Vata is responsible for all the movements in the system, all the flow of blood, flow of movement of food, flow of information and all that. Pitta is responsible for all the metabolism in the system. And Kapha is responsible for or controls all the matter aspect of the body. And when all these three doshas are in balance, people are healthy. But if some dosha is in imbalance, the body gives some signals that there is something wrong. Take care of me. And that signal starts at the level of very first imbalance, and that the masters describe as Sanchay of dosha. If we are able to take care of it at that level, it will be very easy and we are in full health again. If we don't take care of it, somehow we ignore the signal, the next level is Prakop. Prakop means aggravation. There, the signal will be a little stronger. It will be in the form of some aches or pains, if Vata is in this thing, aggravated and all. It could be a lot of anxiety and all those things. If Pitta is aggravated, there will be some feeling of heat inside, some burning sensation and all. There will be anger and all those things. Then we should see that this is Pitta aggravation. Similarly, if Kapha is aggravated, aggravation is there. There will be a lot of lethargy, feeling of lying down, not getting up, sometimes sleepiness and all that. If we are able to recognize that and take care of that by simple means, I mean, just maybe a little bit of sleep, little bit of maybe a hot water bath or some such things, or maybe some little things in taking care of in your diet or things, then the basis of disease is gone. But even if we ignore that, there will be the next level that is called prasar. When the dosha gets spreaded all over the body. And there again the feeling is much more stronger. The signal is much more stronger. Still that can be taken care of with some simple measures. There you may have to go for maybe a vata pacifying tea or maybe some tablets, vata pacifying, maybe some change in diet and all those things, and it can be still handled. And if we don't, if we continue ignoring it, ignoring meaning, headache is there, we just take a pill and think that our job is done. The fire will continue inside, but with a pill, we'll not feel it. But such things will keep on, body will keep on giving signals, and if we keep on ignoring it, we go to the next level. So this fourth level is called sthan sanshray. When the dosha is spread all over the body, it now locates a spot which is weakest spot of the body. The organ which is weakest, it just gets accumulated in that organ. And at that time we have to take little stronger things, stronger herbs, remedies, and still can be taken care of. But the fifth level, called vyakta, vyakta means expressed value of, expressed, where the disease comes up in the expressed form. That is the level where one has to be really careful. And the sixth level is bhed. That expressed disease or manifested disease further gets aggravated and becomes chronic or incurable. So these are the levels. Now, modern science in no way can diagnose any disorder in the first four levels. Must be the experience of almost everyone. Feel something and we go to a doctor, he does lots of tests and all that, comes back, oh well, you don't have anything, go and rest. Or take some light food and all that, that kind of thing. But with Ayurveda, with little bit of knowledge or understanding of basics of Ayurveda, and that's what I have invited Dr. Wallace and Dr. Schneider to present some of the, before everyone, some of the courses which they have beautifully developed, and how when we all are aware of several things, we have to come up with the ideas how to spread this wonderful knowledge of prevention. If we are able to diagnose that, yes, my vata is aggravated and I should do this, we can certainly prevent a major health problem of the future. So that's something which gave at least me greater confidence that whatever Maharshi has been saying, the objective what Maharshi has set, creating a disease-free society, if we are able to prevent disease this way, if we are able to cure a disease by way of re-enlivening the intelligence of the system, which has got suppressed by some external stress, if we are able to do that, certainly people can be free from disease and we can achieve Maharshi's objective of a disease-free society. And this is the purpose of inviting everyone here and spending time. Dr. Schneider will explain a little bit about the the researches and also the courses which have been developed by them, by our university, and which how we plan to actually spread all over.
Jay, your dad, as part of Maharshi's comprehensive plan to create a disease-free society, he designed these medical colleges for Maharshi Ayurveda and integrative medicine, and these are called Maharshi Colleges of Perfect Health. And NUM has its own Maharshi College of Perfect Health, and over the past couple of years, Dr. Wallace and I and several other faculty under Maharshi's guidance, inspiration, and all of our university team here have built a series of undergraduate, graduate, and courses for the public. On the undergraduate level, we have a very successful pre-medical program now where students can take all the modern sciences, physics, chemistry, biology, all that, and study Maharshi Ayurveda side by side, and then be prepared to enter graduate training in any of a number of medical professions. They're now qualified, and we're just about to graduate our first class that's qualified to apply to modern medical school, bringing with them that holistic perspective. We're also qualified for other other health professions, such as the natural health professions like naturopathy, which is a doctoral level practitioner in about 15 states in the United States, chiropractic, and other higher level professions. And then on the graduate level, we have a series of courses for physicians and for consultants that Dr. Wallace will describe. We also have a series of courses for the public. We have a very exciting heart health course just about to come up in the next few weeks. So all this knowledge is teaching individuals. All these programs are for self-care. People can come to learn how to take care of themselves more effectively, their families, like in our wellness courses, or they can train to become professionals. Our long-term goal is still to have our own integrated medical school where students study both modern medicine and Maharshi Ayurveda and natural medicine. But we're doing that in steps, and we have these three levels so far. And then the next stage is to build a clinical center, which we have some opportunities for now, at least in a first prototype version, to really demonstrate this comprehensive care of integrating the best of medical practices. And this is what Maharshi wanted, to have a scientific basis and to healthcare and systematic and on the level of scientific research. I'll just mention 1 minute on that. Anandji talked about so many studies now on the various, there's 600 studies on the various aspects of Maharshi Ayurveda, transcendental meditation, the herbal products, the Panchakarma purification programs, the sound programs, and even effects of the environment and architecture on health have been studied. In our own work here at MUM, there's one study I want to mention where we took individuals, older people in Chicago in this case, and randomly assigned them to a Maharshi Ayurveda wellness program, including transcendental meditation, Maharshi Amrit Kalash, and yoga asanas, and a Maharshi Ayurveda diet, compared to individuals who received a modern approach to lifestyle, modern diet for heart disease reduction, and modern exercise, and third group received a just conventional care. And in the group receiving the comprehensive Maharshi Ayurveda program for mind and body, there were major reductions in atherosclerosis as measured by ultrasound in the arteries. We found that with transcendental meditation alone, but this was a comprehensive program that had about twice as great effects. So this supports the idea that Maharshi propagated that a truly, truly holistic approach, consciousness is on all the levels of manifestation, on the level of pure consciousness, on the level of mind. Consciousness is physiology, as we're all studying here, and consciousness is the environment. So a consciousness-based approach would work on all those levels of consciousness. So, and that's now being shown in some of these scientific studies. So come to all these courses and encourage all the young people to take these courses for consciousness-based health careers. And now I'd like Dr. Wallace to explain some of the programs in more detail.
I was thinking what an interesting task that Maharshi had. When you think about it, a normal master would have, you know, some number of disciples, maybe 10 disciples or something like that, and he would teach them the knowledge and give them the experience of higher states of consciousness and just on a very individual level deal with them on all aspects of their life. And it's remarkable, Maharshi had such a different task. He had the whole world to take care of. And he had to do it in an interesting way where everyone had the experience, but it also had to be in some way spread and propagated throughout the world. So there had to be an organizational structure. There had to be ways of supporting it. And so it became the movement, as we know it, this huge enterprise, and not just a few disciples. And in that process, Maharshi gave us many different gifts. He took... What an undertaking. I mean, not only do you have to explain to the whole world that enlightenment is not mystical or something strange, that it's something that's natural neurophysiological development of the brain. That alone would be the greatest accomplishment of the world if Maharshi had just done that, which he did, and brought out the greatest knowledge through wonderful collaborations. We hear, I was just at a conference where Dr. John Hagelin spoke. It's just extraordinary, the pinnacle of that knowledge and how distinct it was from anybody else. Look at the research that Dr. Schneider has done, just enormous achievements. So this is a phenomenal achievement. And yet Maharshi then entered into so many different areas and basically had to revive them in such a way where the knowledge was basically being lost. The chanting of the Vedas, we think of what Maharshi did, just on that alone, how that knowledge would have been lost. If Maharshi hadn't set up this extensive network of schools and proper training and reestablishing a whole vast area of knowledge. And then the same in Ayurveda. And it was always a joy to be with Maharshi when he entered into a new area. Disease Fee for Society was, of course, a bold concept, but there's nothing that Maharshi did that wasn't bold. The Age of Enlightenment, the World Plan. I mean, any one of the names of any one of the years were mind-boggling. I remember somebody coming to me, I had been in silence, this was in 1974, and Jerry Jarvis came to me and said, Keith, you've got to talk to Maharshi. This idea of the Age of Enlightenment, that's just too bold. How can we have that? I was like, I'd just been in, 7 days of silence. I thought, bold, that's nothing, Jerry, it's fine, And so, taking on the whole health of the world was just one small enterprise of Maharshi. And you think of, just the charming things he did, the wonderful people he brought to us. Dr. Triguna, what an extraordinary individual. And so much fun to be with. I traveled around the world, to China, to Egypt, meeting with presidents of different leaders where he would take the pulse, NIH, where he took all the pulse of all these heads of, major heads of institutes, and they were just bewildered by his ability. And just, he'd come to a place, and what he'd want to see was the cattle. He'd want to see the cows, and he'd want to... We're just introducing a whole different mentality, and just a charming, wonderful, giving human being, and Balraj Maharshi, just a joy to be with, such intricate knowledge of all the plants. When my son was with me in India, and we met Balraj, he said, tell Maharshi I want to take him on as a disciple. I said, what? My son. And I went to Maharshi. I said, Maharshi, Balraj wants to take Ted on as a, you know, as a disciple. What should I do? He said, no, it's okay. He's being nice. Don't worry. I have other plans for him. But, you know, there's this. And Dr. Devedi, we traveled around the world with Dr. Devedi and Dr. Bauhofer, myself, we just go everywhere through Africa, South America, just all over the world with Maharshi and Dr. Devedi. And just such a wonderful human being, charming man. And with these three people, Maharshi took, just like he did with the Veda, chanting the Veda, he just completely transformed Ayurveda. And then Anandji has just done an incredible job for 30 years or more, taking all these products and just going through the intricacies of formulations that nobody has ever done. It's just an amazing achievement, passing all these standards and the quality of the products. Really very precious gifts that Maharishi has given us. And yet, when you were with him, you never felt it was done. He was always exploring. He was always pushing the envelope. Okay, mid-1980s, we had three clinics, we were training doctors, and Maharshi just completely pulled everyone back. He's banished doctors one year, just completely banished them. You can't be a doctor, just Ayurveda. Then he brought them back in again. Just so many different churnings, and so many different interpretations, and then always perfecting, you know, the different programs. Robert ran an amazing program here in Vedic medicine, just fantastic. And then for some reason, she just pulled back. And then we all came to Flow Drop and worked for the last 5 years just on these whole different plans, a whole different kind of hospital, revamping everything over and over and over again. And, you know, you think, oh my goodness, Maharshi, we had the lead, we could have taken over the whole market, we had No, it just wasn't the way Maharshi dealt with it. He just wanted to perfect everything and just create these packages of knowledge. And I don't envy Alan, who has the job now of trying to, you know, we had the market edge. We were out there. We were the leaders. We were the ones that said, and people acknowledge it. We just had a conference, a huge yoga conference, and they all acknowledge, yes, you were the ones that started it. You did this, you did that. And now, you know, because Maharshi pulled back, because he wanted to go more deeply into it and go to every little detail, more and more and more, then all these other people have advanced, and now we have to catch up to them once again. But it was the way Maharshi did things. He was not concerned with business so much as he was concerned with knowledge, with perfecting the knowledge. And in those last years when we were with him in Flow Drop, Maharshi would just, he just was so focused on the health of the world, so beautifully focused. And he said, you must take care, you must have compassion for the health of the world. Not just sell this product, not do that, but take care of the health of the whole world. And this hospital that he created was this extraordinary achievement of really integrating all streams of medicine. I'd never seen Maharshi do this. We were all Ayurveda, and then suddenly he expanded to 50 different departments. Said, everything that works is Ayurveda. It was just bewildering. So this was, you know, Maharshi's great gift to all of us. And now we have a big responsibility. Alan has a bigger responsibility than I do. And Anandji has the biggest responsibility of all. We have the responsibility here, Robert and I, of creating educational courses, getting them out to the world. And I think, you know, it's, the students here are so appreciative. They love this knowledge. These courses that Maharshi created are so fantastic. And as we heard from the visit from Oprah Winfrey, Fairfield is the best kept secret in the world. And we hear that from everybody. It is all these top Indian dignitaries that visited recently. They just were bewildered that we had all this knowledge here. And so we have these secrets. We have this great knowledge. And now it is our responsibility to get it out there to the world. And it's always been our responsibility, but now seems to be the time. Maharshi said his work was done, and he left us all this work to do. His work was done, it's not ours. Yeah, that's the test, you know. And so, it just seems it goes on and on and on. And it is really a huge responsibility, because we have these incredible formulas, we have this incredible knowledge. It really was perfected by Maharshi to a level which just extraordinary. And now it's just a matter of us finding the means to get it out. So we, one of the various programs that we've created here, we by being in Europe, by watching all the programs around the world, one thing you could see very clearly in Italy, where they had a 3-year program for doctors, very, very careful. They had pulse diagnosis over and over again. You know, these doctors would meet, they were in Milan and they were in Rome, and they'd meet, once a month, a long weekend, and they'd have all kinds of case studies. And you can see the difference. After 3 years, these doctors, Western doctors, very top-level doctors, really gained confidence. So we realized, and Maharshi always said this, that we just weren't giving enough programs for the doctors. Just one course is basically what we had, one really introductory course, and then maybe some little bit of a follow-up, but they were short courses. So we really, really have to create a program for the doctors, and that's our master's program that we're creating. And we have to do it for distant education. There's really, to imagine all the doctors coming to Fairfield to take these programs is, absurd. And fortunately, Dr. Stuart Rothenberg's been offering a number of very wonderful courses out in Scripps in San Diego to get that ball rolling. And we will continue it. We should have a course in January where we invite a lot of doctors here. But our whole intention is to take it, put it on distant education, and get it out to the world. And we'll use any means we can. Alan has very kindly said we can use his website advertising all of MUM programs. Thank you very much, Alan, for doing that. And thank you, Anandji, for all your support for MUM. And that's one level, the top level, the doctors. We're also just started this Maharshi Ayurveda Wellness Consultant Program for anyone. We have some of our members, Shelley Lackman's here, she took the program. Different people here have started to take the program. We had very good reviews. We had Dr. Gupta, wonderful Vaidya, very dear, very wonderful man. Just loved Maharshi, just cared for Maharshi. That's another thing, we have incredible Vaidyas in the United States who spent 10 or 15 years teaching this knowledge. Very, very, really understood Maharshi well. And Dr. Rothenberg did a marvelous job. Dr. Paul Moorhead has just been absolutely fantastic for our students and for this consulting course, teaching Ayurveda. So really a very, very powerful group. We also had some very practical knowledge on what it takes to actually become an Ayurveda consultant. And then this program will become part of our undergraduate program. And then we really hope to, we have two tracks. One is pre-med, but we also have this Ayurveda consultant program, and we hope that all the students will gain this knowledge. I mean, it's the desire of Robert and myself that when you really train somebody, the best way to train them, we really want a medical school, we want a big hospital right here. We want to have the Mayo Clinic right here, because we know that if you... It's got to be easier than a disease-free society, so it's one small step in that direction. But, it means that we can take students at a very young age. They don't have to be completely indoctrinated by modern medicine. They can start learning Ayurveda right in a parallel path as they learn Western medicine, and that will make a big difference. So they'll be able to see both points of view and not have to so ingrained in one discipline and then have to go back and be retrained. So that's a very strong desire of ours. And then we want to put out a lot of just simple courses for health education. There's a huge interest in the United States, and Ayurveda fulfills that interest in allowing people to take care of their own health. As Anandji was explaining, these 6 stages of disease, obviously people can do more. It's just education. We just taught a wonderful class, the Diet, Digestion, and Nutrition, which Maharshi carefully created to the undergraduates, about 37 students. It was just so fun to see how they love this knowledge. And at the end, they made these incredible presentations. I thought, why are we teaching? They should be teaching. They're absolutely so creative, so full of life. And we had an incredible cooking class at the Lackman's house. And it was just amazing to watch how once you give somebody the opportunity to get this a little more deeply, then they can integrate it in their life. I mean, we all live in a world where it's sometimes hard to do all the things that are prescribed by Ayurveda. But we just have to be creative and figure out ways where we can introduce it more and more and integrate it into American lifestyle. And I think that these courses will help. Robert has a very, very great and powerful book, Total Heart Health, and that book we are putting into a distant education course. I think it's December 10th and 11th, and it'll be offered to everybody. And we'll just have a whole series of lectures. We'll show the beautiful Vedic man that Maharishi created with Maharaj. Just incredible display of... Maharishi was so happy with this. This was the quintessence of knowledge, of Ayurveda, of Vedic science, of everything, that you could see the Ved in the body. That when somebody was walking towards you, that was living Ved. And that really is the pinnacle of knowledge, using Vedic sounds. That's the greatest component of Ayurveda, using Vedic sounds to cure the body, to reset the physiology in its proper way. And so we have so many different gifts from Maharishi, all these different areas, TM, all the herbal preparations, all the different, many, many different programs, Jyotish, Tapajivay, all the pundits here in Fairfield, just really, really amazing what we have. So now it just is our responsibility to package it in a way that everybody can understand it and appreciate it for the whole world. So now I turn the mic over to Alan, who has this very difficult job of suddenly catching up with all